This is Carmen Alvarez, faculty at Johns Hopkins School of Nursing, and today we are talking about interprofessional mentorship. I'm joined by Dr. Yvonne Commodore Mensa, also faculty at the School of Nursing and has a joint appointment in the School of Public Health, and our mentor and Bloomberg Distinguished Professor, Dr. Lisa Cooper, with joint appointments in the Schools of Medicine, Public Health, and Nursing. So, welcome.
Thank you, Carmen.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah, it's great to be with you, too.
Great. So there's no argument that mentorship is essential for our professional growth and development. So we're not talking today about the importance of mentorship, but more so what makes for successful mentorship, both on the side of the mentor and mentee. Lisa, you've been a mentor to me since I became faculty at Hopkins, and your mentorship has helped me in many ways, particularly with my Birch and Amos Awards. And Yvonne, I know you also have some major successes through Lisa's mentorship.
I certainly do. Yeah. I met Lisa roughly 10 years ago.
Wow.
Yes, wow. We were introduced by the former dean of the School of Nursing, Martha Hill. Mm-hmm. And I remember walking out of Lisa's office after we met, feeling very confident and capable of taking on the world and a rather ambitious dissertation project at that time. Mm-hmm. So Lisa and I are currently collaborating on a project that was funded by the Alliance for a Healthier World. Mm-hmm. Addressing hypertension control in Ghana. So our relationship has evolved from a relationship of a mentor-mentee, but now as collaborators, but also still receiving mentorship from Lisa along the way.
And of course, I get mentorship from both of you, too. So, we'll talk about that more. So it's just been such a pleasure being a mentor to both of you, and I'm so excited about us being able to talk about this more. Mm-hmm.
So Yvonne and I are but we're one of many of your mentees. You have an extensive record of mentoring over 50 mm-hmm. healthcare professionals. So what were the experiences as you were coming up through the ranks that inspired you to be the mentor that you are? Or did it just happen?
Well, no, I think I sort of naturally have this interest in kind of taking care of people and helping people, that sort of thing. I always have had this sort of maternal instinct, I think, so to speak. But I also knew how important it was to have a good mentor, because that's really what helped me get to where I am. And so I wanted to make sure to pay that forward. So mm-hmm. I think when I first when I first was sort of trying to decide whether I was going to be a researcher or a clinician or an educator or all of the above, I sought out a lot of people who had different career paths and who were studying different areas and sort of watched people live their lives and do their work, and tried to sort of attach myself to people who I saw doing things that I would like to do myself in the future. And, you know, and it was not always easy, because sometimes you see people who you just like. They just, you know, you like their personalities. They're great people. They might even be good mentors, but they don't know anything about the topic area that you want to study. So I actually found myself, you know, trying to align myself with people that I liked, that I had a good relationship with. And they were helpful to me with the big picture things, but then they also directed me to people who had more specific expertise in what I wanted to study. Because I remember one of my career mentors early on was this epidemiologist who actually is the former dean of the School of Public Health here, Dr. Mike Clagg. Right. And I loved Mike because he was just so excited about science, and he was excited about young people. And so I wanted to, like, hang out with Mike. And I said, Mike, I think I want you to be my mentor. And he said, well, that's great, and what are you interested in? And I told him, you know, I was interested in sort of behavioral issues and issues affecting minority populations. And he said, well, that's great, you know, and he goes, but I don't know anything about that. why don't you talk to, and then he introduced me to a few other people, and then that's how I sort of formed my mentorship team. But long story short, I mean, those are the people who sort of really encouraged me and guided me, and I knew without a question that without them being here, I would have probably gotten lost because there are just so many things going on, so many opportunities, that you really do need that guidance. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to make sure that when I saw other young people kind of going through that same struggle, mm-hmm. that that I could similarly like be there for them.
As a follow-up to Carmen's question, I think she mentioned that you have over 50 mentees and counting.
I know. I think I'm up to like 75 now, but I stopped counting. You know, it's like
no one's counting. But I'm curious to know how you stay organized.
Yeah.
Because I can imagine 75 people competing.
Well, they're not all coming at the same time.
Yeah, but competing for your attention, coming from different disciplines and with different perspectives. Mm-hmm. How do you share yourself with all of these people and still manage to do it so graciously? What's the secret?
You're very kind. I don't know if there is a secret, but what I'll say is, first of all, it wasn't 75 people all at one time. So you definitely can't mentor that many people all at once. So I think that was one thing for me to learn, is it's important to know like how much you can take on, because obviously you don't want to say that you are going to support people and then not be available to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think one of the ways I've done this is that I've tried to group my mentoring activities into certain times of the week, if I can help that make that work with other people's schedules, because it gives me time to really focus on the issues of my mentees and not have to like do it in the midst of while I'm trying to do other things. I think it's really important to be focused and to be there present with people, to listen to them. So I try to do that where I have like a mentoring day where it's like, that's all my, see all my mentees that day. And it's really guarded time that other meetings don't get thrown in there, you know? And then even if for whatever reason I'm unable to meet with them on that day, it gets rescheduled in a timely manner, or that I'm available to them by email or by telephone, you know, so that I can respond to their request. So that's, you know, one thing I do. The other thing is I try to set up like expectations early on in the relationship, so that that people know like when they could expect to hear back from me, when they ought to, you know, send me things if they want to get a response, that sort of thing. But I really love the interprofessional piece of it, because for me, it helps me to grow, you know, and a lot of times in my own work, I'm looking for colleagues that have a different perspective. And, you know, when I have, you know, younger colleagues who are pursuing research in areas that are related to mine, but they're coming at it with a different training and coming at it at the questions from their own discipline, it allows me to think about the questions differently, and also just to develop like a more holistic approach to the issue. So. Mm-hmm.
So in addition to being focused, I have to acknowledge that you also have the gift of being flexible, too.
Oh.
I recall when we were submitting the Alliance for a Healthy World grant, and we actually had to talk after hours.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a brutal experience, but it's rare to find a mentor who will stay on the phone with you late into the night trying to figure out the critical pieces of your proposal, and it worked out, and we were successful, but I definitely appreciate and value your support in that journey.
Well, thank you for saying that, but I mean, it's an honor, really. I grow a lot, and I know people certainly did that for me, because you know, we try to be respectful of each other's time, and of course we do a lot of planning and preparation, but as you all know, in the careers we have, there are a lot of unexpected things that come up, and you know, we just have to be flexible and, you know, be prepared and persevere, you know.
Yeah, I think that is, I think one of the key hallmarks of a great mentor-mentee relationship is that both parties are all in, if you will, that mm-hmm. allows for the flexibility that's needed to get the mission done, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to ask you a couple questions, ask you guys a couple questions. So Yvonne, we've been working together and you've now got a program of research here in the U.S. looking at immigrants and their cardiovascular risk factors, and then now also this project in Ghana.
Right.
And so tell me more about it. I know you found me. I know Martha Hill introduced you to me, but how were you, how did you go about seeking mentorship for your various projects, and were you intentional about looking for mentors, or were you mainly just sort of, was it like serendipity, you built relationships and then you found mentors? Like, just tell me more. I'm always interested to know how people find each other.
So it was a combination mm-hmm. of serendipity mm-hmm. and just being intentional.
Mm-hmm.
So my meeting you was mm-hmm. through Martha Hill, like I mentioned earlier. But I have also established a mentoring team
mm-hmm.
with other world-renowned experts in different fields.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
one of my mentors is Cheryl Dennison Himmelfarb, mm-hmm. who's mm-hmm. on faculty here. I also have Liz Selvin, who's mm-hmm. a professor at the School of Public Health,
mm-hmm.
And a renowned cardiovascular disease epidemiologist
mm-hmm.
on my mentoring team. And it was important for me to have someone with that background mm-hmm. in cardiovascular epidemiology
mm-hmm.
because my career goal has always been to be a nurse
mm-hmm.
and a cardiovascular disease epidemiologist.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that's what she brings to the mentoring mm-hmm. team. And I also have Rex Ahima, who is
mm-hmm.
an endocrinologist and
mm-hmm.
has a background in diabetes. So
mm-hmm.
I've spent some time thinking about what
mm-hmm.
I would like my career to look like.
Mm-hmm.
And as a nurse,
mm-hmm.
having a nurse on my mentoring team, a nurse scientist,
mm-hmm.
to offer career guidance and navigating particular issues in
mm-hmm.
academia
mm-hmm.
and in my role as a faculty member here, and also having someone like you who has a heart for health equity
mm-hmm.
and community engaged research,
mm-hmm.
which is one of the principles that I use in
mm-hmm.
my research.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very passionate about that. And
mm-hmm.
so having an example
mm-hmm.
of someone who's really engaged with the community and leads by an example or
mm-hmm.
leads by example is important to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then also having Rex Ahima, like I said, who has expertise in diabetes. So
mm-hmm.
everyone has different skill
different
sets.
Different niches, yeah.
Exactly. But I've been very fortunate to have a mentoring team that
mm-hmm.
consists of people who are really invested in my success
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and who
mm-hmm.
are my biggest cheerleaders.
Yeah.
And our relationships have evolved and continue to blossom. And
yeah.
so, like I mentioned earlier, it's pretty interesting
mm-hmm.
Going from being a mentee, but
mm-hmm.
working as collaborators
mm-hmm,
on
mm-hmm.
projects.
Yes.
And learning from each other. And so it's a gift that I certainly don't take for granted.
Yeah. No, I think it's definitely one of the blessings of having mentees from different disciplines is
yeah.
that when, you know, as they develop, they become colleagues who are really valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Not that people from the same discipline can't
mm-hmm.
do that, but like I said, in a way that they bring like sort of that unique lens
mm-hmm.
to the problem. And, you know, and then as we know, mentoring relationships evolve over time, and
mm-hmm.
that's the way they should, like all relationships, right?
Right.
You know, but as we know, you know, it involves some navigation
mm-hmm.
and
right.
can be tricky, but I think that's all part of the journey, right? The professional journey.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, Carmen, what about you?
Yeah, I think
mm-hmm.
for most of my mentorships, I think
mm-hmm.
I don't know how intentional I was
mm-hmm.
about having that person be an official
mm-hmm.
mentor.
Mm-hmm.
I think I went more along the lines of this. Reaching out to people who are, how would you say, reaching out to faculty who are emulating where I would like to be,
mm-hmm.
have demonstrated their success in research as well as in practice.
Mm-hmm.
And so wanting to learn from them, but not necessarily seeking them per se as a mentor. And the mentorship came from
sort of organically just developed.
Right. Okay. A lot more again.